unforgettable. That's what you are.
Toot your own horn.
Wendy, when you use the word unforgettable, one name comes to mind, and that, of course, is the unforgettable Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune, who is our guest today. Hello, unforgettable Eric Zorn.
You are nuts.
It's impossible to forget you.
You guys don't forget me. I'm here every Monday, so you don't forget me.
Oh. Right.
I think if I missed a couple weeks, you go, like, there was a guy.
Remember the tall guy who used to come by?
What's his name again? Was he a pet expert?
Square Dances.
I can't remember what he did. Yeah.
I don't remember him. There's so much in the news today. Well, this week. It's been a busy week. If you wouldn't mind, Wendy and I have been discussing the Glinowitz case a little bit off air. Who in their right mind could have predicted all the twists and turns this thing has taken in the last couple of weeks?
Well, I got to say, there were some people who contacted me very early on by email saying, hey, you should take a look at this. I think it might be a suicide. And I admit that in the first week or so after this story broke, and of course, just to refresh anyone's memory who's forgotten, this was the Fox Lake police officer who on September 1st was found murdered in this marshy, or killed in this marshy area, shot to death. And he had radioed in that he was following two white guys and a black guy. He was going to check them out. And then they found him dead. And this, there was an explosion, national, international story, I think.
Right.
I told you right after the search that
true.
I
absolutely
thought
true.
It was suicide. I had no idea the other stuff was following.
See, I give you a lot of credit because I was very skeptical of that claim. I thought, you know, my problem was, I think, that I trusted the police who were telling us that this was a homicide, that and they were dismissing and poo-pooing the idea that it was a suicide. If you remember, the coroner up there came out and said, you know, we haven't ruled anything out. It's possibly still a suicide. And the investigators who were running the task force, they went crazy on him. And
it shouldn't be, because every time there's been news stories, and you know this, the coroner report is what everybody goes by.
And the coroner is not invested in this, in the story. And I think the citizens of Fox Lake and the people who are around there were invested in it being the hero narrative
right.
that we were all told.
Right.
And gosh, as it's unfolded just in the past week, the story just completely, not only did it fall apart, I mean, that it was a suicide, but that he had been covering up. A lot of bad things. Skimming money from this Explorers program to help young people get involved in law enforcement. And the officers up there in Fox Lake had apparently written an anonymous letter of complaint to the chief detailing a bunch of complaints about his performance, that he was alleged to have been found drunk behind the wheel of his car. I'm just trying to remember all the.
Well, there was the sexual harassment that had happened several years ago. There was the sham marriage.
Grabbing a breast at a Christmas party.
Yeah. And then there was also this allegation that he had his mistress engage in a sham marriage to his son, who's in the military, in order to get extra military benefits.
Right.
I mean, the allegations are that this Glinowitz family was just a pack of grifters, and that his wife was involved in this, that she knew about it, that she was one of the people allegedly who was involved in these text messages that were discovered, in which he's thinking about maybe taking the new village manager and burying her in the Volo bog,
right?
Or planting cocaine on her, perhaps. They found some cocaine in his desk that no one could figure out where it came from, and thought that it might be possibly related to him attempting to frame her. Because she was auditing the Explorers program, and according to some of his text messages, as soon as she gets a hold of the checking account, looks at those records, he's toasted.
Right. Well, there's several different things that make this as strange a story as it is. Number one, it's the fact that we're talking about, all told, a sum of about $50,000, which is not as life-altering when you think about all that was at stake here.
Has that been confirmed, though? Because I've now seen that has been brought forward, the $50,000, but they're not quite 100% sure that that was the amount.
It could have been more.
Well, here's the issue, and this gets into what I wrote about over the weekend, which is that, yeah, he could have. If he had been caught, he probably could have figured out a way to pay back that money over time. But he would have clearly been convicted of a felony, would have lost his job, and lost his pension.
Which is way better than losing your life.
Which is way better than losing your life, unless you're thinking like a hardcore.
There's no way back from there either, because his reputation, you know, he was this big hero cop, and he probably couldn't have lived with the fact that he was going to be taken down.
To lose your, perhaps your freedom, probably your freedom, your good name, your pension, everything else, that to lose all of that and to see this way through, which is, you know, in some ways you can say, well, what he was trying to do by committing suicide was he was trying to help his family.
Yeah.
That he had, all of his misdeeds had really left his family in peril.
Right.
And the backstory is that when you have a first responder's pension, if you are killed in the line of duty, you get 100% of your salary. You get a special payment, a federal state payment of several hundred thousand dollars. Your kids get free in-state tuition at public universities.
Health insurance, too.
Health insurance also. You get a really broad array of benefits, so that if you are, like, if three bad guys kill you, then you get these benefits. If you know, you have a heart attack at home, then you get, I think he would have been eligible for 75% of salary.
Mm-hmm.
His family, his survivors would have been eligible for that, but none of these other benefits.
Mm-hmm.
If, on the other hand, if he had then been convicted of these crimes, you lose your entire pension. You get back from the state, from the pension fund, you get back the money that you put into the pension fund without interest. So, the money, the payments that you've made over time, so that's a significant amount of money, but it's nothing near what you're going to get.
Right.
If you're retiring, as he was going to retire, he's 51, 52 years old, he was going to retire, he was going to have a big, many years of a nice pension coming to him.
Of course.
And his family would have had many years of a good pension going forward if he had been killed in the line of duty. So I'm sure he saw this as a perfect way, and he had this experience of setting up crime scenes, working with the explorers.
What better situation for somebody like this? I mean, that's the ultimate. That's what he was doing. That was a sidebar to his job,
right?
Setting up crime scenes.
Yeah, but he knew they were going to find out eventually. Just hoping that
aged it pretty well, and I think he might have thought, well, this is embarrassing to all of us. Let's not expose this. I mean, it was his shot at this.
Yeah.
And of course, the beauty part of it is, as far as he's concerned, and the thing that is outrageous to us is that the law says that you don't get your pension if you're convicted of a crime. And we don't put dead people on trial.
Oh.
So there's only one state where I found that you can lose your pension without being convicted of something, and that's West Virginia. And their state law allows you to have your pension taken away if you served dishonorably. If there's a commission that decides that you served dishonorably, that seems to be appropriate in this case.
But what about the suicide? Wouldn't that make your benefits null and void?
No, because the suicide, I mean, if he'd committed suicide because of, like, gambling debts that were not related to his job or something, then, or he was despondent over, you know, his mistress marrying his son or something, that if he had
even though he set it up,
he maybe had second thoughts. Anyway, if he had committed suicide for other reasons, if he had not been criminal, then no, suicide is just the pension would still apply.
So you lose life insurance benefits for suicide, but you don't necessarily lose pension.
You don't always lose life insurance benefits for suicide. That's you should have one of your people from Allstate weigh in on this, because I'm not exactly sure how suicide works into life insurance. There's some, as I remember, there's some time limits. Like, you can't take out an insurance policy today and commit suicide tomorrow and collect. But I think there's some time lag,
really?
If you've had life insurance for a time. I'm just this is a dim memory on my part. But I really think that we need to look into changing state law, at least going forward, about this, so that death or suicide is not a ticket to a pension for your family. And people were saying to me, well, what about the survivors? Don't you feel bad for the family? And the truth is that, you always feel bad. I mean, in this case, maybe we don't feel so bad for the family, because it seems like a number of people in the family were involved in this.
I do. I don't know what's wrong with me, but the people there, I think, did he have four children?
I can't remember.
All right. Well, the people there, it seems that there are children that weren't involved in the scam or the sham.
Yeah.
And then it breaks my heart to think of them going through that village and seeing all these defaced signs with their father on it. It's like they can't live there anymore. They have to move.
Yeah. Well, that is true. But the truth is that with anyone who commits a crime, any person who's part of a family who commits a terrible crime like this, your family is going to pay the price.
Yeah,
I mean, anybody, white collar criminal who loses his job or her job and goes off to prison and loses their income, the family has to sell the house, the kids suffer, the wife suffers. That's one of the disincentives for committing really horrible acts, which
is that
it's not just you who are going to suffer. It's going to be your family as well.
Can we get a listener in on this? Do you have headphones on, Eric? Put your headphones on for just a little bit.
Phil has called us, 312-981-7200. Phil, what do you want to say about Officer Glinowitz?
Yes, I agree with everything that you all have said there. with regards to that, I have no doubt that he did it to take care of his family to the nth degree, but he keeps being referred to as a hero. I haven't heard one heroic deed that he did. He might have presented an image that one might refer to as a hero, but I think about all the men that are in service that are true heroes. I don't think we should be using that term that he was a hero, now he's a criminal. I don't believe he ever was a hero.
Well,
I
just
think
by
he's been a criminal. I think he's been a criminal most of his entire career, if not all of it, when you start looking at his personnel file.
Sure sounds like it.
The disservice to our members of armed forces who are true heroes and other members of police officers that are true heroes.
See, that's what I was going to say, is just by virtue of the fact that he was a soldier and he was a police officer, you put those in the brackets of hero.
And we thought he went down, you know, at the hands of three perps.
Right.
So that's why he was called a hero. Because now I'm seeing, you know, not G.I. Joe, G.I. Foe, F-A-U-X. It kind of breaks my heart for his family. But Eric, you're right. That keeps you on the path to the straight and narrow. You don't want to make your family suffer.
Yeah, well, to get to Phil's point,
I have to say this. My relative was a victim of an officer crime, and they covered up so much it was unbelievable, and no one ever felt sorry for this man's family when it was exposed in the news that initially he was the individual that committed the felony, when in fact they found out later that he was not. No one took any sympathy on them. I don't believe that should be appropriate in this case.
Right. What I wanted to say, though, is to get to your earlier point about heroic acts, that he was evidently, in much of his life, he was a very good police officer. The people didn't admire him just because he looked the part. That he actually was. He has someone who has this multiple qualities. Like, the part of him was a really good police officer. I don't know if heroic is the right word, but that he helped people, and people thought very well of him up there.
All right, I take exception to what you just said, and on the basis of his fellow police officers several years ago wrote a letter about his behavior. That doesn't sound like a person who was a good police officer to me.
No, I'm not saying obviously he wasn't, but I think he did. I think that even bad people do good things at times.
In the 30 years of being a cop, he did some good things.
But Phil, you're totally right. I mean, just call him a hero at this point is absurd, so yes.
Thank you, Phil.
And he's just a bad guy in uniform.
It sure seems like that's, you know, I hope we don't think of all other police officers like that. And what do we think about that Fox Lake Police Department? You know, sometimes you question, did they cover all this up? Did they cover some of it up?
You got to ask.
You have to wonder.
What does it take to get fired from the Fox Lake Police Department with all those complaints about him? And he was a lieutenant. I mean, calling him, he was promoted through all this
stuff. Right. A break and then more with Eric Zorn. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Eric Zorn is here, the unforgettable Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. We're talking about the Glinowitz case, one of the strangest, even by Illinois standards, one of the strangest cases that we've ever seen. 312-981-7200. Let's take one more call, and then we can sum this all up.
All right, this is George. Hi, George.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. What'd you want to say?
You know, I think his actions pretty much speak for themselves. You know, we can sit here all day and call him not a hero and say all this, but the evidence is there, so really nothing needs to be said more about him and his character. But questioning the police department. You know, I haven't really heard much of that, because I know they have the process and they have to go through, you know, making sure that their information is correct. But how long did they know that he took his own life before they decided to make this, you know, LeBron James, you know, announcement on TV, you know, the next day? Like, they let the public think that there were three people that were murdering police officers at large. For how long? Like, that's ridiculous. That is so unsafe. It is unbelievable to me.
Well, I agree with you, George, and I think that when you have a suicide scene, no matter how well staged it is, there are certainly some signs that one can look to, like gunpowder residue on the hands, the angle of the gunshot wounds, and so on, that will tell you that suicide is a possibility. You know, my contention is that this had been, you know, John Smith, who had called in on his cell phone and go, hey, I see some guys out here, I'm going to go after them, you know, send a cop over, and then they find him dead, they would have concluded in about 2 hours that it was a suicide or less.
Yeah.
And you're right, playing this out for 2 months, I don't think it was fair to anybody, particularly the people in that community who now feel like they've got, you know, I mean, I think they all feel really played. I mean, down here in Chicago, we can go, oh boy, you know, that really was something else. But if you really were emotionally invested in that, if you actually felt the fear that those people felt, they, I mean, they were sheltering in place for most of the day. The students couldn't go from school.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of fear. Or you know, who's going to be next? If you got three killers on the loose, that's
I live out in Aurora, you know, so Montgomery, Aurora area, and that's an hour away from, you know, Fox Lake. And I personally know dozens of people who work over there who rerouted their work, their driving to work, and completely changed around their lives just to avoid that area, even from here. So it, not only that community, but it affected, I mean, a huge area. I mean, it was everybody that, you know, had to alter, you know, a piece of their life just because of this, you know, fictitious this group of people.
Yeah. On the other hand, I'm not sure that you could have totally concluded that it was suicide right away. I mean, I think that it was clearly as a possibility.
Hey, if I figured it out, really the day after the manhunt, where it no one surfaced, none of the three people they were looking for surfaced. It's like a fake call because he didn't want people to know he killed himself. Why couldn't someone else have figured that out? And again, said maybe there's no danger to the community. We are not ready to release the information, but just so you know. We're confident we have this wrapped up. We just can't announce it.
Superintendent Snyder, right here.
That's what I'm kidding.
No, I think there should have been. They should have been able to figure this out more quickly. Now, on the first day, yeah, of course. But you know, after that, I think it was really incumbent on them to at least let us know. They didn't have to tell us everything about their investigation.
Right.
Police always keep some details hidden. But at least to let us know that this was a possibility, that this was something that they were looking at all possibilities.
Yeah.
And not to take 2 months out of it.
Thank you, George.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you so much. Have a nice day.
I told Wendy this last week as we were finding out what we were finding out through the press conference. A friend of mine who's a cop who has done plenty of crime scene said, we know 5 minutes in. He goes, these guys knew 5 minutes in exactly what happened. It took a while for them to prove it and convey what happened, but he said, you can always tell the difference between a suicide and a homicide. It's one of the easiest things in the world to determine.
I'm guessing there's going to be a book written about this case.
At least.
Story. Maybe a Coen Brothers movie.
Maybe.
Or something. I mean,
it's really
something else.
As Dean Richards says, all the twists and turns, people would watch this movie and go, that could never happen.
Yeah, this is crazy.
They're piling on. This couldn't be. Great to see you again, Eric. Thank you very much
He's
for being
unforgettable.
Here.
Yes.
Don't forget me between this week and next
no
week.
No one will forget, Eric. It's impossible. A quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve Bertrand has on the Wintrust Business Lunch next. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.